This podcast is brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Keep Joy on air by becoming a member, a subscriber, or donate. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.
Welcome to a Joycast from Joy 94.9. Visit joy.org.au to find out more about our Joycasts.
Here's another Saturday Magazine podcast brought to you by Joy sponsor, Virgin Australia. Visit virginaustralia.com.
Across Melbourne on Joy 94.9 and streaming online at joy.org.au, you're listening to Saturday Magazine, every Saturday, 10 till 12.
So we're going to, Robert's here for the first hour. I wanted to ask first, let's get this one out of the way first. With the rail tunnel and everything that's going on there and yep. St Kilda Road, there's going to be an enormous amount of trucks in and out of the city. Probably over the term of this thing, 500,000 truck visits, extra, additional, yeah. In the CBD. Now, was this part of the original planning, or is because the government wants the tunnel built sooner, doesn't it?
They do, and look, it's a bit misleading to call it a tunnel. I mean, it was originally called the Western Distributor.
Right.
Now it's called the Westgate Tunnel Project. Look, the tunnel is only a small part of it, and I think that part of the project is excellent. We haven't yet got a final design, and so I'm going to sort of hold judgment until that is decided. But we will argue in the environmental effect statement process that too much traffic is coming into particularly the northern part of the city, North Melbourne, Kensington.
And we also don't want another South Melbourne spaghetti network.
Oh, Spaghetti Junction. Right. Yeah.
I mean, that's just nuts.
1970s LA freeway building. And look, so I'll go into the process with clean hands. You know, we'll argue our case. We don't think that the Dynon Road exit is useful at all in terms of city traffic. The modelling done so far, and we'll need to do a whole lot more, shows actually that some roads decrease in traffic. Other roads, particularly the small suburban roads in North Melbourne and Kensington, gain a lot. Look, the original intent, and I support that, this is Rod Eddington 10 years ago saying we need a metro tunnel, okay, tick, being built. We need a duplicate crossing to help the Westgate Bridge.
Yep, good.
We need that. And we need to connect our freeway network east to west or west to east, whichever way you like it. All good, need them all, but the controversy is going to come here about the elevated roadways, the junction, the amount of traffic, the exits, and so we'll go in and argue what the effect will be on the city. And at the moment, the modelling shows it's pretty ugly out there in North Melbourne.
But Macca's question is really about the disruption to the city while this is being built with massive amounts of trucks.
Yeah, look, and that's you mean the metro tunnel itself?
Yes.
Yeah. Look, sorry, I thought you meant the Western Distributor, the Westgate Tunnel Project. Look, both are going to be enormously disruptive, you know, no doubt about that. And
do you think that's just life?
I think if we don't put up with a few years of disruption now, then we'll have decades of congestion.
Mm.
And other cities have done it, so we've got to learn from. I mean, New York has just done underneath Manhattan metro tunnel. London has just done Crossrail. Kuala Lumpur is doing it. Vienna is doing it. So the new world and the old world all are doing these big disruptive projects. Let's learn from them and how they went about it. One small thing that we've done, we've put some more money, and this might not seem to be a natural pairing, we put some more money in our arts budget because we figure if we're putting on events, you know, things that are of interest to people in the city, then people will keep coming into the city.
Yeah.
And that's what we want them to do. So, yes, we're going to have to get used to disruption, but the game is worth the candle. The outcomes are going to be so much better for us. And if you think we've got a million people coming into the centre of the city on a busy day now, they can't come in by car. You know, the rail loop is at capacity. We need this tunnel. Mm. And there are going to be wonderful benefits in Arden, Macaulay, Parkville in particular. You'll see remarkable changes there in our university and hospital precinct and in an entirely new urban renewal precinct in Arden, Macaulay. So it will have wonderful outcomes for us, but don't minimise the pain. And we're going to have something as big as a Bunnings shed sitting over the city square for probably 4 years.
Bollards, Robert. Not bollocks, bollards.
Yeah, my favourite word of the week. How many times do you reckon I have heard or said that word during this week?
I reckon lost count.
I reckon what's going to happen is when you try that T-shirt on, you're going to wake up in a hot sweat going, bollards, bollards, bollards.
Or he could actually wrap it over a bollard.
Yeah, actually, you could put it over a...
yeah. It's about the right size for a 3-ton block of cement, the one you've given me, Macca.
You did say you wanted extra large.
I did. Yeah, I know. I didn't understand it would cover a 3-story building, though. we could put Worth Circus in there, couldn't we, if we put a pole in the middle?
Does my bum look big in this? It look big in that T-shirt, I tell you. So, bollards, yeah, I think it's fantastic what people have been doing.
Isn't it great?
But where's the opposition coming from? I mean,
no idea.
I mean, we want to live in a creative city, don't we?
People who type with one hand.
Yeah. What's that about?
Yeah. But look, it was necessary to put them down, and we're going to see there are 206 of them out there at the moment. They're not the most attractive things in the world, and there are 300 more that will go in. Yeah. In different parts of the city. And, of course, what happened was we had a bit of guerrilla decoration. And so people got out there and put covers on them. I'm sure they're knitting one, purling two out there in Yarn Bomber's world. There was a very smart young man who did sort of a parody of an artistic work and stuck it on one of them. And they're appearing all over the place. And I said to people, look, just get out of their way. Just let people do it. And I've had a word to the police who were maybe a little overzealous in having a go at a couple who were doing a stencil on one, and I know we've now got agreement that it's our property. If people want to decorate them, we're okay with it, so there won't be any police interference. We actually got them, believe it or not, from Harry the Hirer, so when we return them to Harry the Hirer, they'll have to be returned to their original condition, but they might be there for quite some time, and therefore I just love the idea that people say, let's stick up a middle finger at the reasons we had to put these ugly things there in the first place.
Yeah.
And then the creativity of people comes out. I've spoken to our street art community, and they're quite keen to do some work with them.
Right.
And you could even think, we're going to put some down in Olympic Boulevard, outside Melbourne Park there, and that will take quite a lot of them. So I've even put the challenge to the street art community to say, instead of thinking of decorating one, is it possible that you could look at 10, 20, 30 as a single installation?
Mm.
Installation. Do you like that word? Installation.
Oh, the Raffia Mafia will love you.
Like they love you, Macca.
So, you can read that one, Tess.
Oh, I think it's directed at you, Macca.
This is great radio, by the way. Two blokes looking at a screen and arguing who's going to read it out aloud.
No.
I mean, they're riveted out there in Joyland at the moment.
Okay.
Thanks, Robert.
Well, someone had to fill that empty air.
All right. It's from John. It says, "Welcome to country. Seriously politically correct to the extreme with no sincerity towards it whatsoever." John, there you go.
We can have a debate about that, can't we?
When I do a welcome to country, or I don't do a welcome because I'm not Indigenous, I do an acknowledgement of country. But I like to say, because it sort of ties it in a bit, that we're a very young city, and I can point down to the Yarra River down at William Street and say that's where we were founded, August the 30th, 1835. So in city terms, we're a very young city. But then I point out that our first peoples are the oldest continuous culture in the world, stretching back 50,000 years. Continuous culture.
Yes.
And I think that's something we should be very proud of, and I think we should acknowledge it.
I agree.
Yep.
I agree.
And we do.
Yep.
I agree. So John, if you think that's insincere, challenge that. We don't believe it is.
But good on John for saying that, because
he's entitled to it.
Well, not only that, it sometimes is difficult to challenge the sort of what can be seen as the politically correct. And for John to have a crack, I think is really good, very healthy.
I'm really called politically correct. So I was called before I went away for a couple of weeks, there was a listener who...
There's so many meanings in that phrase, by the way, but anyway.
Who wanted me to stop advancing my right-wing agenda.
Yes, that's what I've noticed about you. It's jackboots at two paces, isn't it, really, for you?
I nearly wore today.
Thank goodness for that. So that's the story of the bollards. There are probably about 20 of them that have been decorated now, and I think we'll see more and more of them.
Bring it on, I say.
Yeah,
bring it on.
Great.
Bring it on. And I've seen some really creative ones.
And there's such humour in some of them too, which I think is great. Did you see the one I was talking about that did just a little placard by Daniel Andrews? And then he does the most the most wonderful parody of inflated art talk on it. And then this young man, who's obviously a secondary school student, says, "Oh, look, the artist is very reclusive. But I'm his agent, and I can speak on his behalf. So he went on with it, which was, I thought was great.
My favourite's the one of the man that's actually squashed underneath it.
Yes.
Painted on the ground around.
Yeah. But even there are some simple things. There's one that's a chessboard, you know, which is quite good. The ones that were the fabric that were sewn and then, then slipped on, I thought that was quite clever.
It's like your T-shirt.
So, yeah, absolutely. Yeah.
But seriously, it is actually a reflection of the creative elements in our society.
Yeah, it is.
And people are accepting that these are going to be part of the landscape, so let's make them... Yep. Melbourne.
Absolutely.
And have fun with them.
Yeah, absolutely.
Have fun with them.
And that's why I say you've got to be a bit careful, you know, to not try to overthink it from my perspective or the police perspective.
So people don't need to get a planning permit or anything like that.
Just go and do it.
Just go and do it.
We should just get out of their way. So,
right.
You know, that's how
some, we should get some paint and stuff, Tess.
Yeah, let's do it. Let's go straight after
let's
him.
Go and let's go and do it.
Get a couple spray cans.
I think you should.
Yeah.
Yeah. Go down there and have a go.
Couple of T-shirts.
Speaking of spray cans, by the way, I was talking to our street art community about Hosier Lane, which I think has fallen off the pace a bit.
It has a bit.
Yeah.
In street art. And talk to them about why. A part of it's because the forum is being redone at the moment, so it's a bit hard. But you'd hate to see it get to the point where... And I don't understand this. There used to be, in street art culture, a kind of respect. So a work was put up there, and then later someone would come and do something over the top of it, and that's part of the world. But now we're seeing it bombed and tagged almost from the moment it went up there. And that never used to be a part of street art culture. And I actually blame, you know, some of the younger kids who are on drugs... And who just see it as something that's fun or provocative to do. But I am a bit worried about Hosier Lane, and so I'm going to try to work with the street art community in the coming weeks and months to work on a plan about how we can bring it back to being the premier street art lane in Melbourne. It's not much fun for tourists and school groups to go down there and just see tagging. Yeah. So we've got to if you don't protect it,
I was there the other day, actually, and I thought this is almost verging now on being a commercial precinct.
Yeah.
It's, and I wonder whether what you're talking about is actually a bit of an overreaction to what it's actually become.
Look, maybe, but it's just, I remember, let me give you by way of example, because when politicians haven't got data, they use examples.
Yes.
That's just a little trick for you.
Anecdotes?
Absolutely. Yeah. Let me tell you about my life.
The lady down the street said to me.
Yeah, and as a father myself, let me tell you, look, I remember when a New Zealand artist whose name escapes me did a wonderful Heath Ledger Joker piece of street art there. It lasted maybe half a day before it was destroyed, essentially. And that didn't used to be the case in Hosier Lane. Yeah. I remember Deb's work, Ganesha, that was up the top end of Hosier Lane, that actually lasted there for a very, very long time and was respected, you know, and left there. I don't know that would happen anymore. So I just think you don't want to overcook it, you're quite right, but you need to go back to the street art community and say, you guys work it out in your way, but how do we do that? Mm. You know, do we provide them, from the City of Melbourne's perspective, with the scissor lifts and the paint that they need, and bring in a team every week to do a new, you know, work in there, and then the next week so they can touch up anything that's been bombed? So not so that you're trying to take over the lane from them, but actually trying to give it back to those really good artists.
Now, I have a follow-up question.
Yes.
You were in Chicago and you met with a whole lot of other mayors, but Rahm Emanuel. Did you remember to ask him if he's going to have a chat to us on Saturday Magazine?
I did.
What did he say?
Absolutely not. Oh. I sort of got a taste of what it's like to be with a rock star mayor, because we were walking along Riverwalk, which he's very proud of, along the Chicago River, and it is. It's beautiful. Mm. It's what we've got along the Yarra, with bars and walkways and all that sort of stuff, but I didn't want to break his heart that we didn't spend $100 million to do it. Anyway, and then all the way along, people are high-fiving him and saying, g'day, Rahm, and having selfies and all this sort of stuff, which was great. And then we stopped at the end and had a couple of glasses of wine, which was really pleasant, and it reminded me very much of Melbourne. Until then, I realised that's a city that has 760 homicides a year. In the 4 days I was there, police were either shot or shot at every single day. On the Independence Day weekend, they had 68 shootings and 4 people killed. And I thought, yeah, it's a beautiful city, but give me Melbourne. You know, I know we had a shooting last night, but to us, that's shocking.
That's a rare occurrence.
Absolutely. Yeah. Whereas there, it's an everyday occurrence. And I just think it's sad, particularly, you know, on young black men. And yes. It's just a, you can see it's a two-speed city, kind of like Washington, beautiful and prosperous in the center. The moment you step out of that, it's a different world.
Yeah.
But yes, I did speak to Rahm about that, and I think he pleaded time zone.
Okay. Oh, we can
poor excuse. Very difficult. That's poor, a very poor excuse.
Hey, listen, I'd take it if I were you. I would take it.
Oh, you don't want him on because he'll...
I don't want your feelings hurt with what he really said. That's all.
Oh.
Yeah. He'd heard all about you.
Oh, dear. Yeah. I'll get him a T-shirt.
Yeah, would you?
Yeah. We'll get him a size yeah. small.
One that's too tight. Hope it'll choke him.
A very impressive city leader, by the way.
Isn't he?
Yeah, he is. He's a seriously smart guy.
And is it a great place to visit?
It is. It's yeah. a lovely
Well, we're heading over there in a few weeks' time, so I must get some offline travel tips from you.
Take your pre-recorder and you can have a chat to him.
I can just recommend to you, go and eat at the Purple Pig.
Purple Pig?
The Purple Pig. Yep. It's very Chicago, but it will remind you of Melbourne.
Now, you've got 30 seconds to tell us what the hell's going on up at Vic Mark. What's going on, Robert?
Big things, Macca. Big things. You will start to see, and I hope announcements very soon, about how we're going to redevelop that market. We released the business case this week, which shows beyond any doubt by independent modelling, you do nothing and that market will go into decline. And in fact, it may cost us, if we do nothing, it may cost the city $100 million over the next 30 years. It's already costing us $1 million a year in, you know, just upkeep to it without actually doing anything. This is a chance not to wreck the market, not to make it all spit polished, because that's not how markets work, but to do things that we've been talking about, to be honest, since the 1950s, like giving them hot and cold water, power, chill facilities. You know, there are records from the council in 1953 of the then market chairman saying, it's a disgrace, the Queen Victoria market doesn't have chill facilities or power. Well, they still don't.
They still don't.
Most of it, the stuff that we love, you know, the food in the fish and the meat and the deli part, you won't see much change there at all. We'll go under the sheds to do a basement there. We'll put the car parking in the Munro building, which we've bought next door, and underground under the sheds. The biggest difference you will see will not be in the sheds, but you'll just be restored, and they'll get National Heritage listing, I hope, later this year to protect them forever. No, the big thing you'll see is that asphalt coming off a hectare and a half and a beautiful green open space, which can be used by people and which will commemorate our first cemetery, which is right there, still with 6,600 bodies.
So what's all the opposition about?
Oh, look, I think people fear change.
I don't get it.
Yeah, I think they fear change. And look, I do get people really love the market, but they don't want to see people stuffing it up. And that's why I want to get National Heritage listing for it, so that no one can stuff it up.
But you've made that very clear that we're not going to stuff it up.
Well, yes,
you're going to retain the integrity of it, aren't
absolutely.
You?
Absolutely. Well, otherwise you haven't got a market. You've got something like a supermarket. Yeah. That's not what we want. But look, some people don't listen and other people willfully mishear. But all you can do is keep on communicating and show them what it's going to be like and take away that fear of change.
Thanks for listening to a Joycast from Joy 94.9.
Thanks for listening to another Joy podcast brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Help keep Joy on air. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.